Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
So Giannis Antetokounmpo, now he is the lead in many of the recaps of Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals because he had 24 points and 14 rebounds and a bunch of assists and a few blocked shots, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And some people excited about it because he's the headliner, and Milwaukee did win the game 108-100. But if you watch the game, Giannis Antetokounmpo was not the reason that the Milwaukee Bucks were victorious and got first blood on Fear the North, We the North, the Toronto Raptors there, as this matchup, Giannis against Kawhi Leonard, the basketball wonks, the stat geeks of the NBA are aroused because of this. You've got the number one and two players in per in the NBA postseason. I don't even know what per is, but it sounds good, right? I mean, it's player efficiency rating is what it is. It's a big deal, right? Why not? First time in NBA history in the conference or NBA finals that players who are 1-2 have met in either of these two rounds. This obviously the conference finals. And so like many playoff games, the margins being very thin here, this game came down to the wire. It should not have come down to the wire. It did, but it was not Antetokounmpo. But it was his teammates, one teammate in particular, that propelled the Bucks into the win column in Game 1. So let's discuss the question. Was it a more impressive comeback for the Milwaukee Bucks or a more embarrassing loss by the Toronto Raptors in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals? The answer, oh, Canada. That's right, our Canadian brothers and sisters, the better story in the losing locker room. Now, my thoughts here. You've got spaghetti, second gear, and haiku. And we'll let all these things marinate with some legendary spicy smoked bratwurst. And we'll see how it turns out, right? Why not? All right. So, A, this is a ridiculous situation that Toronto found themselves. I know home teams make runs. NBA is a league of runs. Blah, 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 blah. But it would not have been possible for Milwaukee to come back without some help from the Canadian lads. It started at the very beginning of the fourth quarter. I feel like I've done this monologue before with Toronto. Kawhi Leonard goes to the bench at the start of the fourth quarter, and all hell broke loose. That set the tone for what was an implosion by the Raptors in the fourth quarter and was the jet fuel that the Bucks need. Milwaukee came barreling back, doing most of the initial heavy lifting while Kawhi Leonard was lounging, having a Mai Tai on the bench as he sat there to get his rest. And it's the Eastern Conference bloody finals. You should be able to play the entire fourth quarter. I know I'm being a despot. I know I'm being draconian with that mindset. But that's how I feel, right? I don't think you have to sit back on the bench. If it's a close game and the team's going to fall apart, and we've seen this in Philadelphia, against Philadelphia, when Kawhi Leonard went to the bench in one of the games there, they just gave up pretty much. You got to go above the call of duty. But Toronto was a seven-point leader going to the fourth quarter. They had 83-76 lead. The Bucks outscored the Raptors 8-3. They cut the lead down to two with Kawhi Leonard away. So instead of Toronto building the lead, conceivably going up by 14 points, it went the other way, and they're only up by two. And despite that, the Raptors still had a 198 lead with 3:30 to go in the game. And then their last eight shots, how many of their last eight shots did they make? Not one. They missed all eight of their shots, outscored 10-0 by the Bucks. And you get to eat the L. You eat the L, loser. Now, Nick Nurse, who's the coach of the Toronto Raptors, he was essentially throwing spaghetti against the wall to see if any of it would stick with his coaching in the fourth quarter. Done in by Brooke I was last good a million years ago, Lopez. Now, I know he made a bunch of three-point shots this year, but Brook Lopez, the last couple of years prior to that, injured, just like not a factor. He scored 5 of the final 10 points for the Bucks and put up a crown jewel performance, a vintage performance back to his New Jersey slash Brooklyn Nets games. He was on a milk carton against the Celtics. He was a non-factor. And because of Marc Gasol and the other defensive players for Toronto not being able to contain Brook Lopez, he ends up with 29 points, 11 rebounds. He had 4 assists, shot 57% from the floor, made 4 money balls, and he didn't turn the ball over, not one time. So Nick Nurse, the coach of the Raptors, now he's going to have to sell, second part of this, he's going to have to sell some optimism, right? If you're a glass is half full person, if you're that type of person, you're not like me, but if you're that kind of person, you will point out that the vast majority of this particular game, the Raptors had the lead. That's true. Milwaukee had a lead early in the game. It was like 8-6, and they didn't lead again until the fourth quarter. So you say, hey, wait a minute. Right there, we controlled the game. We just played bad the last 4 minutes or 3.5 minutes. I am more pessimistic. The Raptors were given a Mega Millions ticket. And they then went to the men's room, and they went into the urinal. They put the ticket in the urinal and then took care of business, right there in the urinal, ruining the monetary value of the ticket. So 44 minutes and 30 seconds of elite basketball is great. The problem is the game's 48 minutes long. That's the problem, and you fall off in the, 33 minutes and 30 seconds of hell. You're under siege and you fall off the cliff. Now, was Kawhi Leonard gassed? Right? This is one of my pet peeves. And it pops up every NBA post. Now, I haven't seen it as much this postseason. I have not. But here we are. This is a go-to excuse by the fanboys in the NBA media. It cannot be that Kawhi Leonard just played poorly. It has to be that he was just gassed. He was out of fuel. He was the abandoned car by the side of the road that's waiting for the auto club or tow truck to come help him out. I don't like it. Considering how the Raptors babied Kawhi Leonard, let's call it what it is, all year. He missed, 22 games, I believe it was, during the regular season. But he wasn't good when it mattered. He had 31 points and 9 rebounds. The unsophisticated fan says, that's pretty good. However, after the first half, in the second half, he took 15 shots and missed 10 of them. In the fourth quarter, he had no field goals made, 2 points from the charity stripe. He only took 3 shots. Kyle Lowry, a noted Houdini in the playoffs, was the only Toronto player to make a field goal, and he had 14 of the Raptors' 17 points in the final 12 minutes. The only one. And the Bucks, while they played some more minutes in this game, some of their key guys, they're still like in second gear here. Milwaukee is 9-1 in the postseason. They just overwhelmed the Pistons. They stumbled in game one against the Celtics, and then a tidal wave knocked out Boston, and now here they are up 1-0 against Toronto. And Chris Middleton is averaging like 33 minutes a game. Giannis Antetokounmpo played a little bit more than that, but it's like 32 minutes. Everyone else is kind of playing a little bit here, a little bit there, and it is a cavalcade of players that the Bucks bring in. Mike Budenholzer, I guess that's the coach, he has an embarrassment of riches for Milwaukee, and George Hill and Malcolm Brogdon and all those other guys that we don't know their names. It's a motherload of contributions, for sure. And the Raptors have Serge Ibaka, who we've heard of, but the great Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet. That is what the Raptors throw out there. Advantage cheese curds. Advantage authentic Wisconsin cheese curds over the poutine. All right, last word here. Now, I wanted to bring something up. Marv Albert, I was watching the game, and I love Marv. I think this is the last big series Marv Albert's going to do. They are going to get rid of him. He's too old. He makes too many mistakes. He's still going to do games at TNT, but I believe this is his last conference finals for Marv. They're going to put him out to pasture, which is sad. I mean, I grew up watching Marv Albert do big games and stuff, but Marv made a big deal over the rust versus rest debate. This was clearly a talking point in a production meeting. Now, my position, I want to be very clear, my position on the rust versus rest debate, it's whatever fits your narrative. All right? Whatever fits your narrative. It's sports writer jargon is what it is. Let me explain. It's in the same category as team chemistry, momentum, and intangibles. All of these things are things that you cannot see and you cannot touch. You just have to believe that they're true, right? These things are used to enhance a story. They're these haikus passed from sports writer to sports writer and sports media person to sports media person. For example, the Portland Trailblazers got flogged. They played like dog food the other night. And so they say, well, they needed rest. Right, they needed more rest. They didn't get the rest. Right, they didn't get the rest. They needed more rest. They had to play on Sunday. They came right back after Game 7 against Denver. They had to play. The Raptors played brilliant basketball for 44 minutes plus, and then imploded. They didn't have enough time off. Right, that's the argument. But had Toronto and or the Portland Trailblazers had won their particular games, then the narrative would have flipped and it would have been, well, the other teams were rusty. The other teams were, you know, they needed more. Whatever fits the narrative is what I'm trying to say. All right, let's hear from Nick Nurse, a male nurse who's made it all the way to the top ranks of the NBA. And what do you do? Do you give up? Do you think the Toronto Raptors should give up after one game and now they can't beat Milwaukee? It's all over. What is the coach going to say? I think he's going to admit they should just quit.
You don't really have much choice, right?
Yeah, you got to quit.
We're learning that each one of these games is critical.
Really?
Learning. I thought we played a tough tonight, a tough brand of basketball for the most part.
Not at the end.
We gave ourselves a chance to win on the road
in the
Eastern Conference Final, and it didn't turn out. But we put in a lot of work.
Gave the game away.
But you got to file that one away, put in more work next time. That's really where it starts. We gotta get some rest here tonight. Focus in on our film.
Need some rest.
Figure out some adjustments. Build some confidence. Right, But then again, once it gets ready to go up for game two, we gotta be tough.
Oh, gotta be tough. Gotta be tough. You gotta be like a grizzly bear to take down a deer. Because the grizzly bear would beat the deer. But isn't a raptor a dinosaur? So a dinosaur should be able to take down a deer. Like if you were to do a Call of the Wild and have a raptor dinosaur versus a deer, who's going to win? And clearly the dinosaur will just kick it or throw its head down and crush the deer. So this would be a mismatch the other way if it was a Call to the Wild situation. Well, Kyle Lowry, the only team, or the only guy on the team that made a basket in the fourth quarter, Kyle Lowry, I'm sure you want to rip all your teammates, right? All your teammates, they all blow. Come on, rip them, Kyle, rip them.
Turnovers, missed shots.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we just didn't execute as sharply as we could have.
They didn't. You did.
You know, I got to go back and watch the film.
No,
I
you
think
don't.
We got a couple good shots and
no,
missed some
don't.
Shots, but, you know, we just didn't finish the game well. We just didn't play well just to finish the game.
Got to go back and watch the tape. He ain't going to go back and watch the tape. He can go back and go to bed or watch Netflix in his hotel room is what he's going to do. Go back and watch the tape. Because he knows that's what all football coaches do. I got to go watch the tape. No one asks him after that. It's on to the next game. It's like, I got to watch the tape. And then the next day it's on to Cincinnati or on to whoever. It's a scam. It's a scam. Don't fall for the scam. Don't do it. Do not fall for the scam. All right, we say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas. I'm gonna use a hand pass to give the microphone to Eddie Garcia.
Is that an illegal hand pass in the offensive zone or a legal hand pass in the defensive zone? You see, you can do that on defense, but not on offense.
Well, not eligible for video review or referring if you didn't see the NHL game, the Western Conference game, was it game three?
That is accurate,
game
yes.
Three, now, the game three already. Mike, it's going very quickly, Eddie.
Every other night they play.
Every other night. So the St. Louis Blues were very upset And I was reading some of the stories coming out of their side, and their GM, this guy, I guess his name's Doug Armstrong, and he, according to media reports, was so outraged by a game-winning goal, which they feel should not have happened, but Erik Karlsson, who scored the game-winning goal about 5 minutes into the overtime, he ran up to the official's door and slammed violently his hand on the door, and he yelled a bad word.
I bet he did.
And garbage. I think it was the F word, but I don't know.
I'm going to guess it was the F word and several other words.
Garbage.
Yeah. So if you, this, again, one of those great debates. Now, if you have instant replay, and we see this in football, right? We saw this with the Rams and the Saints and all that, and people, the Saints all upset, going to change the rules. Are you going to change the rules in hockey now? Are hand passes now going to be eligible for review in overtime situations?
No, of course not. But they're talking about, like what the NFL has done, now have instant replay for all goal calls.
Any goal, you review it
to see if there was anything that happened.
I'm all for more timeouts.
Well,
we need
look,
more pauses in the action. Chop it up.
I get the sentiment on that, whether it's the NFL or the NHL. I mean, it's tough when you're watching a game and you see clearly the wrong call made, and then the guys who are paid to make the right calls don't make the correct call. But in those instances, I also would say, make the right call. I mean, those are routine calls. That was not a difficult call to make. It's an obvious hand pass. Make the right call. You should have saw that. So, I mean, if they want to replay that stuff, I guess they can, but just have a referee that makes the right call.
So if you want to do a deep state conspiracy, which this doesn't really work because it's the San Jose Sharks.
Yes.
But if it was a glamour team, Eddie,
yes.
Which is not San Jose, if this was a glamour team, this would be a great
team. Yeah, if this were the New York Rangers or something.
Well, because this is, I believe, the third time, right?
Yes.
That the Sharks have benefited. They've been a beneficiary of a call that went their way.
All in very important games and all like deciding goals. I mean, or a call that gave, like against Vegas, they had a 5-minute power play that scored four goals on, completely changed the game. Against Colorado, the Avalanche had the game tying goal wiped away on what was a questionable offsides call. And now this. So the San Jose Sharks are skating with the proverbial horseshoe up the tuchus at this point.
Yeah, the Sharks are not allowed at any of the casinos on the Strip because of what happened in that playoff series against Vegas, and they're banned from visiting the Rocky Mountains. Now, I guess in St. Louis, where they can't have any more toasted ravioli now when they go to St. Louis, they're banned from that?
That would be a good call, yeah. Can't visit the Arch.
Oh, the Arch, yeah, you got that Arch. You ever been to the Arch?
I have not.
You have not? Neither have I. But you can go to the top, right? You can take. Is there an elevator? You take
I believe so. Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't look very big though.
Looks pretty big to me. It looks.
Well,
but,
it's large, but it does. I don't know. This is how big is it?
Like, how does that elevator work? Because it's an arch.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's like when you go to the top of it, does it like curve around and rotate? Or?
I've never been there. One of our guys in St. Louis can help us out. But are you like? Is it like a tube where they shoot you up? The tube, right? No.
What if you get stuck up there?
Well, yeah. That would be bad.
Well, imagine the views, though. Think of it. It'd be beautiful.
Well, views of St. Louis.
Oh, that's a low. Look at you. That's a cheap shot by Garcia.
But I'm sure, lovely views of St. Louis.
You can see the Cheatin' Cardinal Stadium over there. You can see the Mississippi River. You can have a wonderful time. Just absolutely great.
And what else is there to see?
I can see over to Illinois, right? If you're you can see over to the state of Illinois.
Can you see Chicago?
No, too far from Chicago. But you can see some farmland in Illinois. You can see a lot of that, I would imagine.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Now, it is not football season. The NFL does not begin until mid-July. Training camps will open up, and then it'll be pretty boring with exhibition games that are usually unwatchable. In August, and then September will come around. We'll get all excited for the NFL. And then, like, the first couple of weeks, maybe one or two good games, and then a lot of bad games. That's how that goes. But there are a lot of teams that are going through randomly. They split it up. The off-season workouts, the OTAs, as they are called. And one of the stories to come out of the OTAs is about Odell Beckham. Who else? OBJ. He's under attack. A former NFL executive has joined a number of media people who are ripping Odell Beckham. Now, what did Odell Beckham do? Odell Beckham has sporadically shown up to training camp. He does it when he feels like it, you know. Not training camp, mini camp, or the OTAs, as I say. So this guy, Jeff Diamond, sounds like he should be a plumber. Jeff Diamond, who's an old front office stooge, believes that Odell Beckham, it's alarming what he is doing. This is a problem, and because he's mostly been a ghost at Cleveland's offseason workouts. And in fact, before Tuesday, Beckham, he showed up to the press conference after he was traded to the Giants. He was on the first flight out of Cleveland that night, and then he showed up Tuesday for the first day of OTAs and then was on the first plane, wheels up, out of Northern Ohio. And so these cameo appearances are being described as a red flag. So I wanted to talk about this. Now, the question, should the Cleveland Browns be alarmed? Should they be worried? Should they be concerned about Odell Beckham? Now, I'm going to say no. I am going N to the O, and I'll tell you why. My observations, you've got Bohemian, 1%, and the armchair. That's what you got. We'll mix all of this together, and we'll make some dirty rice is what we're going to do. Now, number one, Odell Beckham, not your typical NFL player. I think we'd all agree on that. It is cliche of coaches and certainly prominent media people to want players to live, eat, breathe, and sleep football. That is not who Odell Beckham Jr. is. Beckham has a different set of priorities. He likes to live the rock star life. He's got a great deal of enthusiasm for the party. That is unorthodox for many. That is, I guess, unique, although I don't think it's that unique. A lot of NFL players like to do it. He's got the bohemian tendencies, shall we say, and he's a wanderer. He's an adventurer, Beckham, anti-establishment, I got to be here at that time. So the reason the Browns can't be upset, this is not false advertising. It would be one thing if the Browns traded for Odell Beckham and he'd always shown up to Giants practice and he had done amazing things with the Giants being very pungent and being on time. But no, that is not what is going on here. So Cleveland knew what they were signing up for. So you can't be like, this is a bait and switch situation. It's not a bait and switch situation. This is who Odell Beckham was with the Giants, and this is who he's going to be in Cleveland. Now, number two, this is also a unique situation that very few employees can pull off. Right? I think that's also true. Right? There are those, and I understand the letter of the law. By the letter of the law, this is a voluntary workout. These are not mandatory practice sessions. You don't have to be there, but this is a spirit of the law. People look at this like the spirit of the law. You're supposed to be there. Right, Odell Beckham is in the 1% of NFL players who can get away with this. Le'Veon Bell did it in Pittsburgh. Now he's with the Jets. He's doing it with the Jets. If you are a mid-level or end-of-the-roster player and you attempt to pull these kind of things, you will find out quickly how little value you have because you will be handed a pink slip and you will be fired, or as they call it in football, released, waived, which means the same thing. Right? It means the same thing if you pull these kind of hijinks. Now, all of this is wonderful off-season fodder. All of it's great, yet it only matters if the Browns stink, if they play like vomit. Then this becomes a story. Then it is rehashed, and it is used as an explanation as to why Cleveland struggled. It is like we talked about last hour. It's the same argument. We talked about locker room chemistry, and we talked about intangibles, those things. It's the same basic philosophy here. When teams lose, it's because of X, Y, and Z, and when they win, even if those same things apply, they are forgotten. Now, what's my evidence? Tom Brady, the grizzled veteran Tom Brady, was persona non grata at much of the Patriots' offseason program before the 2018 season. Nobody made a big deal about it. Why? Because the Patriots won the Super Bowl. If the Patriots had lost, you would have seen the stories pop up on the interweb about how, see, Tom Brady didn't show up, didn't take the season seriously, they lost. As long as Beckham is playing like a firecracker in September and beyond, then it's like no big deal, right? This will be filed away. It's a nothing burger. Is what it is. Now, the final point of this, now, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Now, I'm not as big a douchey McDouche as some of these people, but what I am saying is I am not endorsing Odell Beckham not showing up. I'm not wired that way. I'm not a bohemian.
Whoopty hell.
Like Odell Beckham. I'm not. I mean, if I were to play armchair psychologist, like I would put myself into the type A personality. I don't know what kind of personality you are, but I'm pretty competitive. I'm usually pretty impatient. I'm a workaholic. That's usually as much as you can be a workaholic in radio. But that's the way I look at it, right? Beckham would be like a type B personality, relaxed, easygoing, unencumbered. You're not going to be a pawn to the system of off-season workouts because you can get away with it, right? And the way I look at this, Beckham is essentially, it's like when you were in school, if your parents moved and you had to go to a new school, what a nightmare, right? What a bleeping nightmare. You don't know anybody. You don't know where to go in the school. You don't know your way around. It's a nightmare. And this is an opportunity for Beckham to have, it's like a soft launch. Or if you open a restaurant, you can have a soft launch, learn where everything is in the kitchen and all that stuff. You don't want that. You show up a little bit, you know. Got a new teacher, Freddie Kitchens, Country Biscuits. Freddie Kitchens as his coach, and you get up to speed with everything. But you know what? He's like, nah, I'm punting on that opportunity. I don't want any part of it. I'm good. All right, here's Freddie Kitchens commenting on Odell Beckham. I'm sure he's going to trash him, right, Coach Kitchens? You're going to kill him. You say he's a bum, he's a loser, he's a jerk, he's a schmuck, right?
I've never disputed the fact that it's not important for him to be here, but it's also important for him to be mentally ready to be here. So I'm not giving him an out by any stretch of the imagination. Nobody here knows the conversations that Odell and I have. I'm just saying it's better for him to be here when he can present his best self. And Odell Beckham's going to be here in the fall, and he's going to be a good football player in the fall, just like he has been. We just need to incorporate it into a team setting now and move forward with the Cleveland Browns, and that's what we're going to become. But are we there yet? No. And whether Odell's here or not here, we're not going to be the Browns yet. We're going to be the Browns when we line up in September.
Now you're like, what's a different color for brown? What are like, is it like a beige? They're like beige right now. They'll turn into brown later. They'll mature. Yeah, they're caca is what they are. They're diarrhea is what they are. But eventually they'll solidify from diarrhea and they will become, well, right now they're like baby poo.
Whoopty hell.
You know, but eventually they'll be more mature about it. Yeah, all right, here's more. How about the touchdown maker, Baker Mayfield, and I'm sure Baker is a leader of the Browns. He will rip apart Odell Beckham, right? He's gonna rip him apart and all that stuff. Explain Baker Mayfield what it's like to not have your guy there most of the time.
You know, that's the type of talent he is, but yeah, at the same time, we have to work for it. It's not just gonna happen. No. That's why we have things like, you know, mini camp in June. And also training camp.
We have
the whole summer to be able to throw and get that stuff down. Like I said, it's about learning the offense and getting on the same page.
Work. All right, here's more from Baker Mayfield, the man that couldn't outrun the police in Arkansas. Here's Mayfield commenting again. And said, Odell Beckham, he knows what's going on.
You let a guy like that be him. You know, everybody has their routine. You know, stick to what's working.
He's not showing up. It's been
working for a while. And so, you know what, he's going to do what he's going to do. You got to trust that he's going to be there when it matters. And, you know, we know who he is.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I didn't realize you knew who he was. And thanks to Coach Kickens earlier for telling us it's the Cleveland Browns. All right, so that's the Browns story. Now, I wanted to pivot a little bit, stay in the NFL. The New York Jets, who play in New Jersey, they whacked their general manager. The Jets fired their general manager, Mike Maccagnan. They allowed him, though, to run the offseason. They allowed him to run the draft. They allowed him to spend the riches of Solomon on the salary cap. They allowed him to hire a coach, and then they fired him. He got to do all the fun stuff a general manager gets to do, right? Fire coaches, hire coaches, draft players, trade for players, sign free agents, all the cool stuff. And then without the Jets playing a game with the coach, with the players that he drafted, with the free agents they signed, he then was whacked in May. That's your Jets right there. J-E-T-S, suck, suck, suck. And the word on the street here is one of the driving forces behind McCagnan being whacked as the general manager of the Jets was a dispute done in by the Bell. Now, this sounds like New York tabloid nonsense, but is there some truth to it? Report out of New York City says that there was a very large disagreement between Adam Gase, Crazy Eyes, the coach of the Jets, and Mike McCagnan whether or not to sign Le'Veon Bell. And McCagnan and also the Jets' muckety-muck, Christopher Johnson, one of the Johnson & Johnson people, they wanted Le'Veon Bell. Adam Gase didn't want him, and he didn't think that Le'Veon Bell was worth the money. So the Jets signed Le'Veon Bell, and now Adam Gase is the temporary general manager of the Jets. Keep in mind, Le'Veon Bell hasn't played a game. He also hasn't shown up to offseason workouts either with the Jets, but so be it. All right, we say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia. We should also point out, Eddie, that the Odell, we mentioned Odell Beckham, Le'Veon Bell, as far as the Jets are concerned, one of the names that has popped up as a legit candidate to replace Mike McCagnan as the GM of the Jets is a pretty boy from TV.
Oh, really?
Yes. Daniel Jeremiah. Do you know who that is?
NFL Network?
Yeah, he works at state-run NFL Network. And Daniel Jeremiah,
I thought it
is,
might be Lewis Riddick. I've heard him. He's one
yeah,
of
he's
TV
been
guys.
Praised yeah. a lot, Lewis Riddick. They should have a reality show. They can have Riddick and this other guy, Daniel Jeremiah, and they can go back and forth. Well, the Raiders are doing so well because the Raiders, they've got two TV people running that franchise. Yes. They got Mike Mayock and John Gruden. And they would have a third, but there's no real job for the third person to
be. The greatness of the Raiders.
But we'll see.
I love the Jets saying this had nothing to do with any friction between Adam Gase and Mike McCagnan.
They were
great buddies. They were working very well together, I'm sure. And then that this was not any kind of a power play by Adam Gase. No, I'm sure that they had been contemplating this move for a long time. It had nothing to do with the new head coach coming in suddenly and deciding, I can't work with this guy.
Yeah, that's right. It's a lot of your face.
I think Adam Gase, I think there was a soundbite within the last few weeks where he was asked flat out about this, and he's like, oh, of course, he completely lied.
Yeah. Oh, of course, that's how they all operate. That's why we're here, Eddie.
That's true.
I have my super secret decoder ring. You don't even need a decoder ring.
No, you really
for this
don't.
Stuff.
I mean, it's halfway pay attention.
How smart is it, though, to go, if you want an executive job, now, I don't know that Daniel Jeremiah is going to get it. That's open-ended. But he, from my understanding, he's only really been like a college scout. That's his background. He was a college scout for a couple of years. But he's been on TV for almost a decade now.
I have his number in my phone.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Doesn't he do the Charger games on the radio or something like that? Doesn't he?
Oh, I don't know.
I think he does. You don't listen to the Charger games on the radio? It's a bad job
by
you.
No.
I do.
Back when I was producing weekend programming, we used him a lot.
Go-to guy?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for him. We'll see if he gets the job or not.
We have a lot of people that work here that work on the Chargers radio broadcast.
We do. We have a lot of influence on those broadcasts. But I've heard a little bit. I don't listen that much. I'm usually watching the games on TV usually. Is that bad for me to say?
Not at all.
Is that wrong? All right. Let's go to the phones. Adam is in Walnut Creek, and he is next here on Fox Sports Radio. Hello, Adam.
What's up, Ben? I just wanted to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals. That's my team. And I just wanted to talk about their young buck coming up, Jose Martinez.
The cheating card. You want to do some hot cheating? You want to talk about the Quebec Nordique while you're at it, or no?
Well, he's batting .336 this year with 20 RBIs.
Yeah,
Jose Martinez, second year in the league.
It's not that great, you know.
.336 is not great.
It's all about. He's got three home runs. It's about home runs.
I mean, and he hits for power too. He's got 7 doubles.
That's not that many. Yeah. It's all right.
I mean,
he's been playing He's got three home runs in 40 games. You know, right? The Cardinals have played 42 games or something like that. Maybe more than that now.
Yeah. Well, they're in the best division in baseball.
Nah. Yeah, not the best division in baseball.
The Brewers and the Cubs?
I'm not feeling it.
You think the Dodgers got the Giants on their roster playing this 20
very,
times?
They got Mad Bum. They're very concerned about Mad Bum. Yeah. Why are you a Cardinal fan? You live in Northern California. Why are you a Cardinals fan?
I used to live in Oklahoma, and that was my team.
But you know the Cardinals don't play in Oklahoma either. You know
that's the closest team. You can't. Some states don't have teams.
How long a drive? What part of Oklahoma are you in?
Northern Oklahoma. So it was like an 8-hour drive.
And how many Cardinal games did you go to?
I've been to like 10 in my life. Went to one where Mark McGwire hit 3 home runs one time.
Well, he's on steroids. He did that every other day. Didn't he hit 3 home runs when he was all roided up back in the day?
Yeah.
So
I mean,
if you drive 8 hours, you got to go to like 2 games, right? You can't just go one day.
Yeah, we would stay over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, because that's, 8 hours to see one game and then drive back. You want to, jump off a bridge or something like that. You know, that's a long time in the car for one baseball game. I got
20-1 odds this year for the Cardinals for the World Series. That's a good bet.
That's a sucker bet. It's the reign of Dodger baseball. Remember, this is probably before your time, but the Atlanta Braves made the playoffs every year. They got to the World Series every year back in like the 90s, a million years ago. That's the Dodgers now. The Dodgers are the new Atlanta Braves, which means they are going to win a World Series. And all I need is one. All I need is one World Series for the Dodgers. That's all I need, Adam, and I'll be a happy man.
I got 11 for you. Wish I could give you one.
No, the Dodgers, they've already won World Series. I thank you. How dare you? Typical cheating Cardinal fan, Adam. Typical Redbirds fan. Elitist. Thank you.
How's the new Matt Carpenter contract looking right now?
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
The Koopaloop.
When Jimmy Butler implied on Tuesday that the extra money Philadelphia can offer him will not have any effect on his decision by noting that he'll get a max deal anywhere he goes. Ben, what do you set the odds at for Jimmy Butler returning to the Sixers?
All right, so it's the odds at minus 300. I think there's a 75% chance. There's a couple things involved here. Number one, it is simple economics. From my understanding, the Sixers can actually offer more. They can offer a fifth year and $188 million, the most of any other team. But they would have to go all in. The other teams can offer 4 years, $141 million. So, in other words, doing the Maller math, if the Sixers offer that contract, Jimmy Butler would have to walk away from $47 million and an extra year on the contract, which I do not believe is a Phi Beta Kappa move for Butler to do if he's offered the contract. So it's really in the Sixers' court. And number two, the one thing that works against Philly, as long as Joel Embiid is in town, Jimmy Butler, whoever else is in Philadelphia, will only be a supporting actor, not a leading man. If Jimmy Butler wants to be a headliner, he has to leave the Sixers and go to the Clippers or the Brooklyn Nets or somewhere like that if he wants to be the lead alpha dog. Next!
Now, the word on the street is that the Lakers minority owners are really unhappy with the way Jeannie Buss has been running things.
I don't know why they would be.
Yes. AEG, who owns 27% of the Lakers, are apparently waiting to see what happens this summer before potentially staging a coup. Ben, how long before Jeannie is out?
Fire Rabbis! Fire Rabbis! First of all, Jeannie Buss is doing a great job. She is modeling her ownership after a brilliant combo of Donald Sterling and James Dolan. Very bold of her to have those as the people she's trying to model herself after. The problem with minority owners, they have all sizzle and no steak. They got no muscle. So there's not going to be a coup. They don't have the power to do it. Secondly, Jeannie Buss, she has some gender protection rights as a woman. It is going to be harder to force her out as long as the Lakers are profitable, which they are, and the Lemmings keep supporting the Lakers. Then Jeannie has nothing to worry about. The Lakers are financially very successful, even though they've been a hot mess and been puke for the better part, almost a decade now. All right, next.
Most people will say that they are happy with how the new changes to the NBA draft worked out. You said this will have to happen a few times before tanking can be declared dead.
Bold statement by me.
Ben, do you think the NFL should adopt a lottery system?
Well, yes. This was fun. It's unexpected is fun. It's chaos. It's bedlam, and it's good. And it doesn't reward, even though you have to give the picks in the draft for some reason to the worst teams, it doesn't reward that. I would like European-style promotion and relegation. They won't do that. But if you can't do that, why not? Crank it up a couple of notches. How do we do?
You pass.
I won the game! That is a win! I won the game!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
But all right, we have asked Ben your questions, our answers for the rest of the hour, starting right now.
It's now time for... Time for...
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
All right, ask Ben your questions, our answers for the rest of the hour. By the way, Tom in Fullerton says the Marlins will never be desperate enough to give discounted tickets to Weedman Hippie. That is accurate, Tom. All right, Koopaloop, we have questions, answers. And you are the master of ceremonies. It's spin the bottle to figure out which questions to ask.
Ben, we're going to start with a question for you.
All right, good.
This is from Ernie, the Great Opiner.
Hi, Ernie.
Ben, with your reported net worth at $3 million, do you know when you're going to hang up the headphones and retire to Hawaii?
Well, if I had $3 million, I would not be doing this. So that answers that. I think any logical person would know if you have $3 million, you're not doing the overnight show. That is the truth. So I will be doing this for a very long time. And as long as the tax is the way it is now, and there's no real tax write-offs, I'll be doing this even longer than I had planned on doing it. So, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. But I would love, like, a nice vacation home in Hawaii, the Hawaiian Islands. I think that would be great. Kauai, the Garden Island, in Poipu, or maybe the other side there. I'd be all for it. All right, next.
All right, this question is for everyone.
It's a group question.
This is from Derek on Facebook.
Hi, Derek.
You're locked in the mall overnight.
Yeah.
What do you do first? Do you hit the food court for the ultimate fast food feast? Go for a cruise in the raffle car or take a swim in the fountain? What do you do?
All right, so this is a good question, and I've thought about this a lot. When I go to a mall, I was like, wouldn't it be cool to be in here and you get the run of the place and go anywhere you want? I think the first move, and it depends, obviously, if you've just eaten, but I think you got to explore, like, the Cinnabon place at the mall. You got to go through that first, get some Cinnabons cooking up there, and then you go around and you can explore the fountain a little bit. It would be cool to drive a car through a mall, that car where they have the raffle. All of that would be fun, but I would start at the Cinnabon shop. What about you, Eddie?
Well, I think if you've listened to the show, you know we all enjoy eating quite a bit, yeah. Especially eating bad things. So, yeah, Cinnabon certainly is that there. Any of the Wetzel's pretzel places, those kind of things.
Pretzel on a stick or something?
Yeah,
Those things
are delicious. Yeah. Maybe the Sbarro, something along those lines.
Slice of pizza.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. So. Cook that up, yeah. You can maybe make some orange chicken and some kung pao chicken
in
there.
Panda Express, yeah. Of course, yeah.
You can do that, absolutely. What about you, Roberto?
Same thing, man. A food court, yeah. For sure.
All right.
If there's just like sporting goods store there, I get some sports gear too.
I don't think you can take it though. You're stuck. You're locked in the mall.
The cameras are off.
It's not a riot. What about you? What about you, Pete?
Yeah, definitely Cinnabon would be my first stop. It's not even
close. Do you think we could figure out how to turn on the oven and do all that kind of stuff?
It doesn't even matter because, I mean, like, obviously I would try to do that, but they've got the boxes of Cinnabons that they got there, right? Like, at the end of the day, the ones that they don't sell.
There's
got
to be some in there. There's got to be some food. But, yeah, it can't be that difficult to turn the oven on.
What do they make?
Isn't a lot of that stuff pre-made? The final step is done by the people that work at Cinnabon, but
no disrespect intended, but you got high school kids working there.
Look at Elitist Garcia over here. Look at
they got to start somewhere. I worked at McDonald's. So,
yeah. It is Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers. Can we sneak one more and then we'll have the full segment?
Sure. This is from Cardiac Stanley.
Glad you're alive, Stanley.
When was the last time you went bowling and what's your highest score?
I haven't been bowling. Maybe 6 years I went bowling, 5-6 years ago. There's actually a pretty good bowling alley near where I live, but I don't remember. I used to go when I was a kid a lot, but I clearly didn't do good enough because I don't remember my score. What about you, Eddie?
My mother-in-law is in a bowling league, and she bowls.
Does she have a shirt
every week?
Does she wear the shirt?
I don't think so. Oh, but
you're not really in a bowling league unless you all wear the
same
shirt.
We usually go bowling for her birthday every year, so yeah. I go once a year, and I think my highest score was probably, I don't know, low 200s.
Wow, Eddie.
Do you know that bowling is the number one participation sport in America? Do you know that?
I did know that, yeah.
Yeah, because I said it, Eddie, because I've been saying that for years, because it's the only sport you can really get away with drinking beer and it not really affect you.
I remember
too much.
Years ago, this guy was running for mayor in Fresno, and he made a crack about bowlers, and he got destroyed in the election.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, that cost him the election.
Bowlers are sneaky because everyone, a lot of people bowl and people think down of it. What about you, Roberto?
It's like 8 years since I've been there, I think.
Yeah.
And then score is probably, I think it was like low 200s. Yes.
Don't they have these like rockin' bowl clubs now?
Yeah.
Like they're like trying to get younger people to bowl. What about you, Koopaloop?
It's been about 5 or 6 years and like 180 is the highest I've ever bowled.
All right, 180. It is the Ben Maller Show as we press on. We'll have more of Ask Ben, your questions, our answers. We get to that, and we will do it next. And it is Ask Ben, your questions, our answers. We do it every week. I should do one of these on Twitter again. I haven't done that in a while, but we will have Ask Ben, your questions, our answers for the rest of the hour, and we continue on with Koopaloop.
All right, Ben, we've got another question here from Ernie. On Twitter.
Ernie's very busy with questions. Yeah.
Would you get tasered for $5,000?
Yes, I would, because I have friends that are, I know some people that used to be police officers, some of that are police officers now, and I think, at least in some of the police departments, it is required to be tasered so you know what it feels like to be tasered. So it can't be that dangerous if incoming police officers are being tasered. So I'm all in for $5,000, tase my ass! All right, is that just for me?
No, that was for everybody.
I would definitely do it as well.
Absolutely. Coop? Roberto, rather.
I would definitely do it just to see how it feels.
I don't care how
it free,
feels.
Huh?
No.
Yeah, we'll get a taser.
$5,000, no.
$5,000? Jeez. Yeah. What about you? Coop, you do it for $20. Come on, Coop.
No, I was going to bump it up to $10, but I mean, with you guys all saying that you do, I guess I do it.
$5,000?
Come yeah.
On, that's good money.
Yeah,
$5,000.
It is.
Yeah, $5,000's $5,000.
Yeah, guys do it.
It takes a long time to
guys rob banks, like Angry Bill robbed the bank to get tased. You know? All right, so Ask Ben, your questions are answered.
This is for the whole crew as well. This guy followed me earlier today just to ask this question.
Okay.
That's from Dante on Twitter.
Hi,
for
Dante.
The crew, yeah. Are there any TV shows that you've watched with a primarily black cast?
The Cosby Show. Yeah, the Cosby back in the day. The Cleveland Show, does that count? No?
yeah, it totally does.
Well, I don't know, does it?
I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't.
Back in the day in Living Color, used to watch that a lot.
Yeah, I mean... You know, what do we get? What about you, Eddie? Any?
I just said the Cosby Show
Living,
as well.
Living Color,
Living Color, Cosby Show,
Living Color back in the day.
Chappelle Show, does that count?
Yeah, according to that guy in Georgia, he was complaining that the NBA is a all black operation, right? He was complaining about that. The guy, what's that guy's name? The guy that could do the alphabet backwards. Remember him?
No, I don't remember his name.
I forget his name. But his daughter's going to call the show, Eddie. His daughter's very smart, and she's going to read the alphabet backwards without reading. What about you, Roberto?
Yep, The Cosby Show, Martin as well.
Martin?
Yeah.
Didn't watch that. What about you, Coop?
I thought The Cosby Show sucked, but...
classic 1980s TV, what are you talking about?
I never found Bill Cosby funny, but...
he was a good stand-up, but...
The Wire, I think, is one of the best shows of all time.
Here's another one, Coop. Fat Albert. Watched that when I was a kid.
there you go. And right now, I am currently watching on Showtime, The Chi, which is it's a great show. Kind of similar to The Wire, but yeah.
All right. To ask Ben your questions, we have time for a couple more here, quick ones.
Here's from Manic Mike for everybody.
Hi, Manic.
What's the longest road trip you've been on by yourself?
By myself? I don't know. Vegas, San Francisco, from L.A., Phoenix. I've driven to Phoenix a few times. I've driven from – I drove around the East Coast, but I had somebody with me. What about you, Eddie?
Gosh, by myself, I haven't gone on many. I think
you haven't driven to like Phoenix by yourself for spring training or something? I've done
that. No, I think Bay Area is really the only thing by myself.
What about you, Roberto?
Yeah, by myself, I can't remember. I got into Phoenix, but I'm by myself.
You guys, see, no one would be around me for years, so I drove a lot of places by myself. What about you, Coop?
You guys are both further than I've ever been. Farthest I've gone by myself is San Diego.
San Diego, that's it. That's nothing.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Small potatoes. All right, it's Aspen. Your questions, our answers. One more, quickly. Yes, no?
No.
Cooper's refusing to ask. That's insubordination. How dare you, Cooper? How dare you?
Well, I have one, but we didn't have time for it.
All right. We'll have to save it for next time or next hour or something like that. But a good Aspen. Keep those questions for next week. Aspen on Twitter, Facebook. You can even email some questions in. It is a staple of our show.
Got a murder. Got to go.